If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to ask you to please turn to 1 Kings. I encourage you to get a Bible and look at the Scriptures as we try to read and study. We're looking at 1 Kings chapter 21. The first half of this chapter, first half of 1 Kings chapter 21, tells us about how Ahab desired some land that was next to the palace. That land belonged to a man named Naboth, N-A-B-O-T-H. He wanted that land, and he asked Naboth to either sell him the land or to trade him. He said, I'll trade you a lot better land if you'll give me that land. I want that land for a garden of herbs. It's important to know that the land that Naboth had was an inheritance, and under the law, he could not sell that land, and yet the king demanded him to sell him the land or trade him the land, but Naboth refused. And so Ahab's wife, how many of you remember what Ahab's wife's name was? Jezebel. Do any of you know anybody named Jezebel today? Does anybody know a Jezebel? Okay, there. Well. I don't know anyone named Jezebel today, and I think a lot of it has to do with this woman in the Bible whose name was Jezebel, and she was so wicked that I think it would either take very ignorant parents or very malicious parents that would ever name their daughter Jezebel. So Jezebel, who was the queen, Ahab was the king, the king of Israel. And Ahab desired that land. He couldn't sleep at night because he wanted that land so badly. And he just was staying awake and he wouldn't eat. Has anyone ever been that covetous about something that you couldn't sleep and you couldn't eat because you wanted it so bad? That was all you could think about, was buying a new car or buying a new house or buying something new. And you wanted it so bad that you just hardly could sleep. Well, that's the way Ahab was, very covetous of the land that Naboth had. He couldn't sleep, and his wife saw him not sleeping and not eating, and she wanted to know what was wrong, and he told her that Naboth would not sell him the land. So she just came up with a way to kill Naboth, and so Naboth was killed at the direction of Jezebel and Ahab. They murdered Naboth. Then he got the land. And when he got the land, his first visit to the land, God sent somebody to Ahab to talk to Ahab. Can you imagine how Ahab felt when he saw this man of God coming to him and he was standing in this land that he had just had Naboth killed, and he saw the man of God coming to him? That's where we'll begin reading this morning, is where Elijah comes to Ahab after he has killed Naboth and gotten his land. In 1 Kings chapter 21, beginning in verse 17, the word of God says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, In the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? By the way, Ahab already hated Elijah before this occasion. And he answered, that is, Elijah answered, and he's speaking the word of the Lord to Ahab. And Elijah answered and said, I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. I want you to remember that expression where Ahab was told by Elijah, thou hast sold thyself thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. That expression is used several times in the Bible where someone or people as a group, they sold themselves to work evil. This is the expression that always follows that. They sold themselves to work evil in the sight of the Lord. The scripture says in verse 21, behold, this is God speaking through Elijah to Ahab the king. He says, behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. For the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat. And him that dieth in the field, shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. I'm not going to pick on women, but I would tell all the men here that one of the quickest ways for the devil to work through and get to a man is through a woman. Now please, women, I'm going to get on your side in just a minute. I'm not on the side of men. I just want you to know that women have typically been the ruin of many a good man. When you go back to the Garden of Eden, who was it that tempted Adam, or who was it that Adam followed in sin that led to the fall of Adam? He was following Eve. He sold himself for Eve. Does everybody follow that? He sold himself for Eve. You come right on down through the Word of God, and you come to Samson, great man of God, who was an extremely strong man. God blessed him in an abundant way. But Samson sold himself to whom? Delilah. Delilah beguiled him, and he sold himself for Delilah. You come to King David, great man of God, a man after God's own heart. But David sold himself for whom? For Bathsheba. And then you keep coming along, you come to Solomon. Now, I'll tell you, this one got in more trouble than all the rest of them combined. Solomon sold himself for what? 700 wives and 300 concubines, 1,000 women. And he began to go after the other gods of this world. Now, Solomon had been the wisest man on the earth until that time. But Solomon began one by one, he began to get away from God because Satan began to use women to destroy Solomon's life. I'll tell you, brethren, the greatest blessing that I have in this world is not the men of this church. The greatest friend, though I have many good friends, and all of you men are blessings, but the greatest blessing that I have in my life is my wife. A godly wife is from the Lord. The greatest blessing that a man can ever have. I will go back and say that the greatest blessing that Adam had was his wife Eve. Now she was tempted by the devil, and she was leading Adam astray. But I'm telling you that the greatest blessing a man can have is a godly woman. And I thank God for the godly women, and I could go through the Bible right now, and just as I went through and talked about how women have deceived men and have been the ruin of many a good man, And I'll tell you, there are great preachers today that have destroyed their lives, not because of an ungodly wife, but because the preachers have gone after other women outside of the marriage. There are many great men of God whose lives and whose families have been destroyed, not because the man had an ungodly wife, but because he had a godly wife, and in spite of all the blessings that he went out after other women. So I'm telling you, brethren, I'm telling you that men and women sometimes sell themselves. That's the expression that Elijah spoke to Ahab. Thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, most of the time that we do evil, we think nobody's watching. Isn't that true? If I'm really going to do evil, I'm going to do the best I can to hide that from you. But I want everybody here to know that you cannot hide from God. When Adam sinned and Adam and Eve had sinned, they could not hide from God. They tried to make themselves aprons out of fig leaves. They tried to hide among the trees. They did everything they could, but they cannot hide from God. And whatever I'm doing wrong and whatever you're doing wrong, be sure your sin will find you out. Why? Because God, who is on his throne, God sees not only the physical things that we see, but God sees what's going on in my heart and in my mind. God knows what you're thinking right now. God knows what you're going to do tomorrow. God knows everything about your life and every evil that is in your life. Be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure that God will expose that evil and that wickedness in your life. Do not think that you can hide from the Lord. And I beg you and I encourage you, do not sell yourself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord. Now, there are a lot of different ways that we sell ourselves to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord. I think about parents sometimes. I've watched parents all through my 38 years of pastoring, and really for the 5 years before that, when I worked with the State Department of Education, for 5 years, I watched parents who sold themselves and sold their children and destroyed the lives of their children. And they destroyed the lives of their children because they began to go after other gods, even though God had blessed them with a wonderful family and blessed them with wonderful children. I watched parents that would go after jobs, and the job would become their god, or money would become their god, and other things would become more important than their wives or their children. I'll tell you, brethren, that kind of a man has sold himself to do wickedness in the eyes of the Lord. Also, we find that parents often, as the children begin to grow up and mature, and they get to be 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, we find that parents sometimes stop requiring those children to live a godly life. They begin to relax the reins and let them go. They begin to say, well, they're children and they need to sow their wild oats. I'll tell you, brethren, if you let your children sow wild oats, if you do not restrain your children, you have sold yourself and you've sold your children. And you will experience the heartache because of you giving up on restraining your children. As long as your children are in your house, you are responsible for what they do. As long as your children are in your house, they are responsible to do everything that you require them to do. And you ought to require them to do everything that God's Word says for them to do. They're to honor their mother and their father. They're to never speak back. They're to never talk back. They're to do what their parents say. And children that do not do that, Those children are in that delinquent position because of not juvenile delinquency. They're in that position because of parental delinquency. When a parent will work with their children and train their children and teach their children the Word of God, and they will live before them as Christians, and they require them to do what's right, they will not sell out to the world, and those children will be a blessing in their lives. Eli the priest. The Word of God says that Eli the priest restrained not his sons. And him failing to restrain his sons resulted in their destruction in their lives, and it resulted in the priest. It resulted in Eli the priest losing his own life. I'm telling you, brethren, you fail to restrain your children. You fail to teach your children. You fail to make them do what's right. And you've sold out. You've sold out. There are too many parents today who would rather be the friends of their children than the parents of their children. As their parents, you're responsible for training them in the way they should go. And they have to be trained and trained. And sometimes they forget what you've taught them. And you have to train them again and do whatever is necessary to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Failure to do that, and you've sold out. I'm watching teenagers today. I'm watching them go down the wrong path because their parents have sold out. Doesn't matter whether you've sold out because you want to be their friend. Doesn't matter whether you've sold out because you're after more money. Doesn't matter what you're after. It doesn't matter your reason for failing to do what you're supposed to do with them. You've sold out if your children are not walking honorably before the Lord. You have sold out as parents and as grandparents. You've sold out. Preachers can sell out. Did you know that? If there's anything in God's Word that I'm afraid to preach, if there's anything that I do not preach, if there's anything that God's Word says and I won't preach it because I'm afraid I'm going to offend someone in this congregation, I've sold out. If I'm afraid to preach about anything in God's Word because I'm afraid it's going to offend someone, or because people are committing that sin, and I don't want to offend everybody, I don't want to lose any members, I'll tell you, I've sold out if I don't preach the whole counsel of God's Word. And there are a lot of preachers today that have sold out. They tell me, I can't preach about this. I can't preach about that. I can't preach about this because I would lose half my congregation. Let me tell you something, brethren. If you're more concerned about how many people are in the house of God than you are with preaching what God's Word says, you've sold out as a preacher. And you and I need to know that preachers can sell out. I could sell out. Every time a preacher runs off and leaves a church, when that church is in the middle of trouble and turmoil, that preacher sold out. Every time that trouble arises and a man of God doesn't stand firm on the Word of God. I'm not talking about just preachers. I'm talking about every Christian in the church. Every time that the church does not stand up for what's right, that church has sold out. They've given up. They've thrown in the towel. They've said, we can't do it God's way. We're going to do the best we can. You can't sell out and expect the Lord's blessings. In fact, when you sell out, every time that you sell out, the judgment of God will come in your life, just like it did on Ahab when he sold out. There are people like Judas Iscariot who sell out for a dollar, for $10, for $100, for $500, for $1,000. I don't care what the world offers you, brethren. There are a lot of people that have sold out because of money. They've decided they're going to go after this job and this job. And their service to God begins to decline. And their worship of God begins to decline. And they have sold out for a filthy lucre. They've sold out for the dollar. They've sold out for an easier way, they think. I want you to know Ahab thought he had it won when he got Naboth's garden. He thought he could grow herbs in that garden. He thought everything was going to be better for him when he got that garden. I'll tell you, brethren, hell came in Ahab's life because he sold out. You know who wouldn't sell out? I didn't even get to this. Naboth wouldn't sell out, would he? Isn't that pretty? Naboth refused to sell out. Did it cost him something to not sell out? Cost him his life. Did you know that throughout the pages of God's Word, we find example after example of people that refused to sell out? John the Baptist was a man of God who refused to sell out. Whenever there was wickedness going on, when there was adultery going on, when there was unscriptural divorce and remarriage going on, and it began to prevail in the land, John the Baptist went right to Herod and told Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Now, you know what they had done? They had written up this little bill of divorcement. And Herod's brother had divorced his wife. And then Herod took his brother's wife. They didn't have scriptural grounds for divorce. He took his brother's wife and he married her. But it was still, they were still living in adultery because there was no scriptural grounds for divorce. And so John the Baptist went right to Herod and told him, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Did you know there's very few men of God that will stand on divorce and remarriage today? There are very few churches that will stand on divorce and remarriage today. Do you know why? Because they've sold out. They've sold out. They won't stand. And therefore, we have a major decline in our nation today. Because people are selling out to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord. The Apostle Paul wouldn't sell out, would he? Didn't matter who forsook him. You know, on one occasion, you remember in the book of Acts, the Word of God tells us that Paul was about to go to Jerusalem. And Agabus came to him and told him that he had had a vision. And Agabus was a man of God, but I believe that he came to him and told him he had a vision. And he had this girdle. He took that girdle and he put it on himself. And he said, "Paul, if you go to..." He took Paul's girdle. And he said, "The same person that this girdle belongs to," after he had bound himself up in Paul's girdle, he said, "The same person this girdle belongs to, he's going to go to Jerusalem and he's going to be bound up just like this." And the Apostle Paul ran and said, "Oh gosh, I can't go to Jerusalem because they'll bind me up. They might put me in prison." Oh, that's not what Paul said. Paul said, "I'm willing not only to be bound up, not only to be put in prison, I'm willing to die for the cause of Christ." Now, that's a man of God that did not sell out. And the Word of God is full of people that did not sell out. You know, when Job, you remember when Job had all of his afflictions and all of his problems, and he lost all of his possessions and all 10 of his children died. And then he had boils from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. And then his wife said, "Curse God and die." Do you know what would have happened if he had cursed God and died right then? He would have sold out. You know what he refused to do? You know what Job refused to do? He refused to sell out. He said, "Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil?" And the scripture says, "In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." There may not have been anybody but Job and his wife in the house when she told him to do that. There may not have been anybody but Job alone that could have heard him say, he could have heard him curse God and then him die. But it didn't matter whether it was Job and his wife or Job alone, Job would not curse God. Rather, Job goes on later in his life and he says, "Though he slay me, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." I've seen some children of God that have gone through major pain and affliction and problems and trouble. I've seen children of God that were born with Down syndrome and born with cerebral palsy and born with other kinds of afflictions, and their entire life they have lived lives that honored and glorified God. And I've watched parents that have had children like that, that loved those children and cared for them and provided them and disciplined them and brought them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I've watched them all their lives pray. One in particular that prayed. Well, I know several that have prayed for God, several palsy, several fine young Christian people. They're old Christian people now, and some of them have died. One of the greatest members we've ever had in this church was Sarah Nell Eason. Sat right there on the second pew, or third pew, second pew. Born with cerebral palsy. Great saint of God. I tell you another, dear brother, Brother Ken Drayton. Brother Ken called me this morning. I want you to listen to this conversation. You be the pastor. You be the pastor and listen to this conversation. Brother Billy, I have an opportunity to go see Kenny today. Brother Philip, you're a preacher. What do you think's coming next? And what? I'm on his church today. His son is in Bridges of Hope. His son is getting help. He hasn't seen his son in a long time. It's the first time in a long time he has an opportunity to go see him. You know what his request was? He didn't say, I'm going to miss church. He said, I've got somebody that's going to pick me up at 12:15 at church. Can I borrow one of the wheelchairs at church so I can go see my son this afternoon between morning church and night church? He didn't sell out. He wouldn't sell out, not even for his own son. He wouldn't sell out for his wife. He wouldn't sell out for anybody else. I'll tell you, brethren, I praise the Lord for the people that will not sell out. For people that will stand up for what's right, people that refuse to compromise, people that refuse to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, people that will stand up for what's right. I'll ask you the same question that Jesus asked in Matthew chapter 16. Turn in your Bibles very quickly there to Matthew chapter 16 and listen to what Jesus, the question that Jesus asked in Matthew 16 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. You know who's just been arguing with Jesus about... Jesus just told him he's fixing to go to the cross of Calvary. That he's going to be persecuted. He's going to be smitten. He's going to be put on the cross. He's going to die and then rise again. They didn't hear the "and then rise again." They just heard all the bad stuff. And you know what Jesus said after Peter had rebuked him? He said, Lord, you're not going to do that. I won't allow you to do that. I won't allow you to suffer like that. And Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. And then here's what Jesus said. Watch Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, if any man's going to follow me, let him deny himself. Did you know if you don't deny yourself, you're going to... Give me two words. If you don't deny yourself, what are you going to do? You're going to sell out. You're going to sell out. How much is it going to take to sell you out, Brother Andy? How much would it take to sell you out? Have you got anything you wouldn't sell right now? Have you got anything you wouldn't sell? Think of an object. I got some things I wouldn't sell. I've got a 53 Chevrolet. I wouldn't sell it unless my family was hungry. That was my daddy's truck. And he gave it to me. And I've given it to my son, but I've kind of taken it back for a little while. I've got my daddy's pocket watch. That's something I just wouldn't sell. I've had people stop by the house. How much you want for that truck out of that 53 Chevrolet? It's not for sale. Not for sale. Oh, yeah. They'll say, I've had several say, oh, yeah, everything's for sale if the price is right. I said, no, it's not. Will you take $5,000 for it? No, sir, I won't. How about $7,000? I'll give you $7,000. My last offer, give you $7,000. No, sir. It's not for sale. Not for sale. Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. And this is my last offer. I'm going to give you $10,000. It is not for sale. Not for $10,000, not for $100,000, not for $1 million. It's not for sale. Do you understand? Now, you've got things like that, don't you? How many of you have some things that you wouldn't sell? Unless you were starving to death, you've got some things you wouldn't sell. Because of sentimental value, you've got some things you wouldn't sell. I'll tell you, brethren, your life and your soul is more important than that truck or that pocket watch or anything else. I beg you, for Christ's sake, don't you sell yourself. Don't you sell yourself. The question Jesus asked in Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Here's the question. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? How important is your soul? How important is your happiness? How important is your joy? How important is peace in your soul? Did you know I can carry you to people that are multimillionaires, and I can show you people that are living in hell? You think if you get this house, this car, this job, this money, this whatever you want to say, I can show you parents that made major mistakes while they raised their children, and they got too involved in the things of the world, and they got lax on the children. The children have brought nothing but pure hell in their lives. They sold out. What will you give in exchange for your soul? The devil's going to offer you something. And when you don't take that, he'll offer you something better. And when you don't take that, he'll offer you something better. And if you ever sell out by doing wickedness in the sight of the Lord, you'll experience hell as a child of God here on this earth. May God help us to not sell out, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.